This is Pastor Jim Persaud for the congregation of the Rock Springs Methodist Church. You may wonder who we are. The answer is a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage. We believe that Christ must be at the center of everything we think, say, and do. Our commandment from Him is to love one another. We believe that Scripture guides and informs our faith on a daily basis. We also look to the tradition of Methodism established by John Wesley as he walked his path of reformation and established a denomination based on grace. Our ministry reflects our call to follow Christ through mission, fellowship, study, and worship. You're invited to join us as we move forward in our faith journey. Please visit our website at rocksprings.umc.org or join us in worship 10:30 Sunday mornings at 1515 Eggers Street here in Rock Springs.
The following worship service was recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan on Sunday, August 7th, 2022. We are a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to worship this morning. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, as people are drawn by your love and grace, make yourself known in new ways through worship, prayer, and the understanding of your word. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.
Let us prepare our time together to go before the Lord in prayer. Our gracious and loving God, we humble ourselves and come before you. We come before you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, Savior, Redeemer, our advocate, our intercessor, the propitiation for our sins, our help, our hope. Father, we come, and we come in humility, bowing our heads, realizing, Father, that we make mistakes. Each and every one of us do. But we are loved by you, by your grace, that we don't understand, that we can't even fathom in all of its depths and dimensions. But we know that it is your love that sent your Son to die for us, your love that raised him up. It is your Holy Spirit that moves within us and unites us together in a faith community where we share our successes and our challenges. A community where we lift each other up, challenge each other, and love one another. Father, we thank you first and foremost that you do forgive our sins. For the sins of the things we do, we should not. And for the sins of the things we do not do, that we should have. And Father, as you forgive us, you call us to forgive one another. Let us all be reminded that we are not faultless or blameless, nor is any single one of us able to cast the first stone. But in love and grace, may we reach out and offer the good news, the hope that is Christ. And Father, as we gather this morning, the needs are lifted among us. Some are lifted in our bulletin. Some are just silently upon our hearts. Sometimes, Father, the request that we lift is only part of the need that's there. And Father, we may not even know all of the need that has been expressed, but you do. For you are omni-all in our lives and the world around us. You're still on the throne. Christ is still interceding. So Father, we lift it to you, knowing that in your love you answer our prayers. We seek patience for your timing, wisdom to accept your will, and patience through it all. And Father, we do lift up leaders in our country and the nations around the world. We pray for those who are missionaries around the world and even in local communities, that hearts would be receptive to receive the gospel and to change their lives, that servants who would call themselves leader would realize that the greatest leader is servant of all, and that example is Jesus. Father, we do pray for those in our military service, through law enforcement communities, emergency health services, doctors, nurses, and caregivers around us who do a job, who perform a task that is far more than what is done. And Father, we let people into our lives when we're broken, when we're unsure, when we're uncertain. And Father, let us trust in you as we give our trust and hope in them. Not because of their gifts, talents, and abilities, but because of your work in their lives. Father, let us be able to see you at work, to not just pass things off as having no meaning or significance. And Father, let us see you touching lives in small ways, in large ways, in whatever way you would have us see. And may we join with the Black Backaby brothers in joining you in your work and activity. For indeed you are at work in the world around us. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts ready to serve. And Father, we do pray for our communities, our teachers, and all of those whose lives are changing. For those pushing in those last vacations and times with family. For those who prepare the schools and open them up, Father, we pray that love be at the center of it all, from the children to the janitor and all in between. That the good of others is important and first, rather than agendas and our own self-serving wills. And Father, as we gather to worship you and praise you and to fellowship one with another, let us realize that the enemy would have us filled with doubt, delusions, and divided. But you call us to you. You call us in a hope that is eternal. You call us into your grace and love and mercy. You lift us up and let us not be downcast. Let us not just see all of the bad and all the negative that is in the world around us. But Father, give us eyes to see you at work and the good that is being done. Let us see you in nature. Let us see you in each other. And let us join you wherever we may see you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
This is a reading from the Gospel of Luke. It's chapter 12, verses 32 to 40. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where our treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are his servants. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The word of God for the people of God.
Let's jump over to the Matthew text, and I'll share it with you this morning. And it's Matthew 6:25. As we look at this text, I just have to be honest. I use the lectionary, as most of you know, and it's on the back of your bulletin. If you want to know what I'm going to preach on next week, it's underlined on your bulletin. It's suggested readings, and those are the text. As I looked at this text, I thought, man, why is there three of these things? And I've been preaching a long time, so this isn't the first time I looked at it. But for some reason, I thought, oh, these are not separate. Let's look. Matthew 6:25. And Jesus tells them, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Now let's go over for a second and visit with Paul in Philippians. And Philippians is a good book. I suggest you spend some time with it and maybe a little time in Ephesians and some of those other little Paul shorties that are pretty handy and full of information. And verse 4 of 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, in other words, surrendering it to God and accepting that God's got it, in supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will grant your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So as we look at this text, I kind of want you to have those floating around in there. How many of you find those scriptures familiar? You've heard slices before. Well, if you read the book a little more, they might become more familiar. You need to spend a little time in it. I would recommend that you underline the Philippians one and go there often. I think you will find it an encouragement. And I would tell you to go over to other places, Ephesians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and just kind of spend some time in the book, you know, give it an hour a day, break it up, but spend some time with it. I think you'll find it to be quite helpful. So I looked at these three pericopes, these little slices of text, and you know, you got this first one that says, do not be afraid. And I like what he says. Don't be afraid, little flock. Little flock. Talking to his disciples. It's really an intimate statement. It's one of caring and compassion. He's just unloaded a bunch of stuff on him. He's on his way to Jerusalem. He's on the way to the cross. Luke's got this thing chronologically laid out. Got him headed in there. And he's told him, strive for the kingdom. And God will add, he's got all that stuff. And he says, don't be afraid, little flock. For it is your, I want you to underline this. We need this. Every one of us need to hear this. For it is our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. It is our Father's good pleasure. It is His delight to give us unlimited things. Now that doesn't mean unlimited cars or trucks. It doesn't mean unlimited money and finances. But we'll figure out what it means by that maybe a little more in a minute. But to give us the kingdom, the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. In other words, do something with what you have. Do something with what you have. And it's really funny. As I was growing up, and most of you kind of know my background in history, it's always amazing to me how big a $10 bill looks in a collection plate and how small it is at the grocery store. Have you ever noticed that? How many of you have noticed how big a $100 bill looks like at a collection? Well, some of you don't. Looks in a collection plate and how small it is at the gas pump. You know, it's just a perception, isn't it? We Methodists get scary about giving our alms and things like that. Let me ask you a question. Who gave you all of what you have? God. So is it yours? Think about it for just a minute. What would you have without God's blessings in your life? Maybe you're thinking right now, well, you should bless me some more. I've got bills to pay. We'll talk about that in a minute. But the reality is, we're stewards of everything that God puts in our lives. Family, friends, it's ours. It's given to us that we may use it. But give God thanks and gratitude for it. And I think he only says 10%. I just saw Methodists pass out. You know, it's really funny. As you know, I grew up in the Baptist church, and I was telling our guests this morning who are from Georgia, and they're able to understand me completely. And when I say you look like deer in the headlights of a car, they know exactly what that means. Because white-tailed deer are stupid. When they see a headlight, they go, "What's that?" And they just hang out and wait on you to hit them. They don't. Have you saw that, Greg, in your travels? Yeah, they do that. They're just weird critters like that. That's why there's so many flat deer back in the East. But that's just the way it is. And for us, we grew up in, and we always used to say, well, the Methodists, they got a big crowd over there in a little church. You go over and look at the Baptist church, they have a big church and a little crowd. You see, the difference is you could take 25 Baptists and build a multi-million-dollar complex. You can take 25 Methodists, can't keep the lights on. There's a difference. Figure it out. But so many times we worry about so much and we're anxious about so many things. I'll be back to that in a second. Make purses. I don't like this. I don't want a purse. Got a bad heart, so I don't want to strain anything. They're black holes. There's things that come in here, and when they come out, they've transformed. They went in, candy wrappers come out fuzzy, little don't know what they were. I don't want a purse, so I won't phrase it. Let's make some wallets. Don't ever think a woman's weak if she's carrying a big bag. You'll be wrong. Make purses of yourself. Make purses for yourself that don't deteriorate. How many women in here only have one purse? Linda Prine. You are an oddity among humanity. Who else? One. You only got one purse, Anita. One. It's the big one. And did you? One purse? No way. How many pairs of shoes you got? You got more than one of these, Smith. I've seen you before. Linda, how about shoes? You got a collection? Huh? Ah, finally. So let's get off the purses. I'm digging a hole, and I got to go home after church. So, but the reality is we need to make something that contains things of value that doesn't rot, change, or go away. Go and make things for you. And notice what he says. You need to make these things. You need to make this. You need to make this. Save possessions, give them. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out and unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action. That means pull up those long robes and tuck them in so that you can run and move and be ready. But also be prepared, because you don't know when Jesus... We know two things in the church. We argue about everything else. But we do know two things. One, that Jesus is coming back. We still claim that, proclaim that, and look forward to that. And the second thing we know and agree on is we don't know when. So we got two things at least that we can agree on. He's coming back, and we don't know when. Be prepared for action. Don't be prepared for inaction. Some people think the way to be prepared is to relax. How many of you have been in the military? I know Greg has. Was relaxation part of being ready? Heck no. I have spent many an hour in 100 pounds of gear for nothing. But you had to be prepared. You know? And then they didn't even give you bullets for the gun. You got them, you know, anyway. So just be prepared. Be prepared for action. Not for inaction. We're reminded here of the parable of the 10 bridesmaids, 5 foolish, 5 wise. 5 who brought extra oil, 5 who didn't, 5 ran out. They needed some, they didn't have any, they wasn't ready, and it was time to show up for the party. But I want you to notice something else that's going on. These three slices. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds alert, ready, when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt. He will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat. Jesus baptizing, Jesus washing disciples' feet, Jesus preparing and breaking bread, Jesus feeding the multitudes, Jesus calming the storms. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them ready, blessed are those servants. And then we get to this one, third one. But know this. Know this. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he'd have been ready. You don't know when the thief's coming. That's one thing I've learned in law enforcement, was you don't know when he's coming. But you can bet at some point he shows up. Maybe not at your house. Somebody else's. He's coming. If I'd have known when he was coming, I'd have had the lights on, cameras out, and the gun loaded. I'd have been ready. It's all about being ready, isn't it? Ready for what? It's about being ready for the coming of Christ, certainly. But it's even more about that. See, we don't get saved to die. We get saved to live, right? So it's about living now, being prepared now to do and to know and enjoy the will of God. What does he want us to know right now? Number one, sometimes we get worried about stuff. Anybody here worry about things? Certainly Linda doesn't. I'm picking on Linda today. Last week it was Brent and Cleve. This week I'm over here. I'm on Linda's. How many of us realize there's a difference between concern, worry, and anxiety? There's a big difference, isn't there? Anxiety paralyzes you. Anxiety comes out of a feeling of inadequacy, of not being prepared. Anxiety comes and debilitates us because we feel we can't do it. Worry is, well, my truck start when I go to work. But we still go start the truck to see, don't we? Worry is, do I really have enough gas to get there and back? But we go anyway. It doesn't debilitate us. It goes from concern to worry to anxiety, though, if we're not careful. And Jesus calls us not to worry or don't be anxious. He says to us what one of us could add 1 inch to our height by being anxious about anything. Live today. Live in this moment. It's got enough stuff to take your time. Tomorrow is another day. As a matter of fact, tomorrow never gets here. It's always today. But we get anxious about so many things because we feel inadequate. But I have... Dennis said the cure this morning. He didn't say cure. He said that means we have to take something like Zoloft. You know, there's a pill for anxiety. Have you noticed that? There's a pill for everything. But they're all treatments. They only treat the symptoms of the anxiety. They only let us function amidst the disability of it. They only let us have a form of normalcy. They only get us out of the house. They only keep us from collapsing back into darkness. It is a treatment. It's temporary. But I contend there's a cure for anxiety. I contend that cure is faith in God through Jesus Christ. You see, when we are anxious about things, that means we're running on our own engine instead of His. It means we're relying on the temporary instead of the eternal. It means we're looking to ourselves, our own abilities, or the world around us, which is all temporary. But Jesus says, our Father wants to give you the kingdom of God. He wants to give you unlimited access, unlimited resources. You don't need to be anxious, and I don't need to be anxious about anything, but give it over to Him. Paul says, don't do it. Pray. Get in there and pray, and praise God. Jesus says, don't do it. Trust in me. Have faith. You see, anxiety is about living in our own weaknesses. And there is where the devil has a field day. He tells you you're not worthy. He tells you you can't do it. He tells you it's not possible. He beats churches up. He beats individuals up. He beats communities up. He tells us peace isn't possible. He tells us all of these things and creates anxiety in communities, in homes, in families, and in individuals' lives. But God says, don't go there. Paul says if we won't go there, then we'll know God's peace. And one of the big signs that you've got some anxiety going on is no peace. Sometimes we're anxious about things we don't even know why. You ever been there? It's in those moments you go look in the refrigerator and there's nothing in there that you want. It's those hours when you're going through the TV channels one right after another. There's no contentment. There's nothing there. It's when we walk up and down the halls, look at all the windows. It's when we fluff that bed sheet for the 47th time that day. It's when we go out and think about doing something, but we decide to go back in and give up on it. Anxiety manifests itself in many ways. But for the believer, for the one who trusts in Christ, you've got the antidote within you. You've got the cure. You just need to tap it, take it, and use it. You need to put it on your side and depend on Him. Be anxious for nothing. He's given us the cure. And we as Christians in the world, believers, now I'm not talking about Christian just by title. I'm talking about Christian by faith. We should be living hope among the hopeless. That's the good news. Now, let's go back to the purse making. What is the one thing? It's a test, by the way. You'll be graded later and never mind. I'm not grading your papers. It'll take too long and ruin my Sunday afternoon. What is the one thing other than your soul that is eternal now and eternal forever? That's more valuable than anything else. Let me give you a hint. For about 30 years, there have been many times when I've stood beside the bed of a person who's breathing their last, who's coming down to the last hours, the last days. I have never heard a single person in that place ask for a bigger house. I've never heard a person worried about their finances. I've never heard a person ask for anything the world could give them But I've heard so many tell so-and-so, I love them. A soldier will die in a trench, and his last words will be, tell somebody, I love them. You see, the one thing that is eternal now, that the world can't take away, Satan can't destroy, is love. It's the thing that'll make the trip. For you see, God is love and God is spirit. It's love that we can bring things in of real value. Those things that are real value are the people we know and love. It isn't the things. It is the number of tools you got in the tool shed, or the shininess of your car, or for some of you, the brand of it. I went fishing with Brent, and I rode in a Dodge. And nothing broke that I'm aware of. I don't know that he would have told me if it did. But I sat lightly and touched nothing except the door handle and the stupid seatbelt that wouldn't go off. Beep, 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 beep. It's got a tattletale in it. Mine don't care if you wear them or not. But it's old. Like most old people, they really don't care. Yeah, just that point. But we need to make purses out of love and grace in our lives, the lives of others, the lives of families, the lives of our communities. Every human being has an innate desire to love and be loved. It gets twisted. It gets torn up. It's filled with anxiety, doubt and dread, brokenness, division, all of these things. The good news is that Christ came in love, exemplified in grace, who bore the cross upon his back, our stripes upon his skin, and his Father, out of love, raised him up on the third day. It is love that we can make now. It is love that lasts forever. Think about it for a minute. If you've ever loved somebody and lost them, they're not gone. It's the biggest lie ever fabricated that tells you that if you lose somebody you love, time will make it better. Oh, no. It don't happen. It's a lie. It's a lie. You assimilate it. It becomes part of your purse. It becomes part of their story. My dad's been gone 22 years now. And my love for him is as strong now as it ever was. My granny's been gone a long time. And I can still feel that greasy, nasty red lipstick that she had put on you as soon as she seen you. And you rubbed that stuff, and the more you rubbed it, the bigger it got. So you just better to leave it alone. You're lucky if you got there and you saw an envelope on the table that had lip prints on it. That means you cut some down and it's not going to be as bad. But I remember. I remember watching my daddy leave this world and join the kingdom of God permanent. Yes, it stung. But oh, what a victory it was to know that the temporary had become eternal. And this perishable body puts on imperishability. And then the saying is true, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? You see, love doesn't die. A cross couldn't kill it. A grave couldn't hold it. And it can't stop it now. Don't depend on the temporary. Depend on the eternal. And make you a purse, a wallet, a billfold, a container that don't have walls. It's made out of love. That is treasure. That's real treasure. And and it'll hold your heart and share your heart. For where your treasures are, there will your heart be also. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Father, it is my hope and prayer that in this simple message this morning, some part of it touches someone's life and is used by you. Imperfect as we all are and as imperfect as I am, Father, you choose to love us and use us and put us to work. Father, may we build containers without walls. May we build purses without signs, wallets without confines. May we build them out of love. Love for you, your love for us, our love for one another. For you are delighted to bless us with the kingdom of God, which is love. Hear our hearts and prayers, prepare them to come to your table and to remember, to celebrate, and to take part of the body and the blood of a new covenant of love, grace, and mercy. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And look at each other for just a minute. Now everybody say good morning, church. Now may you go in peace, grace, and mercy. And truly may the peace of God that is given to us as a gift and assurance of His presence with us go with you, keep you, and bless you. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.
Listening to a worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.